It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Last time on It's a Good Life, we left off at Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2. It says there, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Well, of course, the kindred was Boaz. We see that Christ is also our kindred. And we read some of those verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. And we also saw that Hosea says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud." Well, this is speaking of people who are unsaved. And now in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney." Well, you say, that makes me feel bad. I think you shouldn't be talking like that. Well, I'm not talking like that. The Bible says that. The Bible says the unsaved are just like the chaff. The chaff is the worthless part of the wheat. The chaff is what's going to be blown away. And this is what the Bible likens the unsaved person to. You need to get saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him. Ask Him to come into your heart. And then you will be something that God can use, someone that God can use for His glory. We're looking at the book of Ruth, God's message of love. We look at the whole Bible, and once again, as God's message of love, the whole Bible is. But right now, the book of Ruth, God's message of love, that's where we're going to look, and that's what we've been looking at. And God loves us, and God loves people. Well, notice that as Ruth was going to the threshing floor, let's ask a question. When was Ruth going to the threshing floor? Oh, this time tonight, it says there. Well, this was an appointed time for Ruth. Mankind has an appointed time, according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Right now is the time for a person to come to Jesus. Right now is the time for the Christian to acknowledge Christ to this world, to let everybody know that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves. And we looked at that in our last lesson, how that God loves us so much and that Jesus loves us so much. Well, in verse 3, we look now how to approach one who is greater. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, and once again, Naomi is talking to Ruth, and she said, "Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." We see here a cleansing and waiting. Ruth needed to be clean before she went to the threshing floor to approach Boaz. When James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And then 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As a saved person, we need to have clean hands. We need to go to God and we need to say, "Lord, I know there's things in my life that's not exactly the way you want them. And Lord, I don't want them that way either. And I confess my sin before you, that I can have fellowship with you." Well, once again, as an unsaved person, if you are unsaved, you need to confess sin and just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin." Now, there's no way you're going to be able to confess every sin because there's so many things that come into our lives that there's things that you really don't even realize that you're doing that's wrong. So we say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin." And the person needs to say, "I can't save myself. Please come into my heart." Maybe that's you today. You see, we're cleansed that way by going to God and confessing sin. Lord, forgive me. A saved person needs to be clean also before approaching the Lord. Now, we don't confess sin there to be saved again. We confess sin so that our fellowship can be complete with the Lord, that we can talk with Him, have fellowship. We see so many verses that speak about this, and in John chapter 15 and verse 3, and Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, and 1 John, and I quoted that verse, 1 John 1, 9. Well, you can read verse 8 as well, but you see, we're clean as we go to the Lord when we confess sin. Now, it doesn't mean you're lost as a saved person. Nobody's perfect, and I'm not telling you that it's right to sin, but I'm telling you that we get dirty in this world, and we need to confess sin in order to have a right relationship with the Lord. We don't lose our salvation, but we lose that fellowship that I've already mentioned that we need to have constantly with our Lord. And that fellowship can be restored by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to serve you, and I'm sorry that sin, for that sin in my life. Well, we see that there's cleansing, and we see that there's waiting. Speaking in the book of Ruth once again, Ruth needed to wait until Boaz had finished eating and drinking. Mankind is able to come to Christ because of His finished work on Calvary. We come to Christ because He finished the job. He did what He came to do, and that's the story. That's the story that Jesus came, and He did what He wanted to do and what He was supposed to do. He died on the cross for us. John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. See, the devil no longer could say, wow, I've gotten the upper hand on him. I've killed him. But Jesus says, not so fast. It is finished. I've done what I've come to do. And He said, now I'm going to the grave. In essence, He said, I'm going to the grave. And the Bible says that He went to the grave and He rose on that third day. He's alive today, that you and I could have eternal life. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 4 goes on to say, and it shall be when he lieth down. Now this is Boaz lying down. Naomi is giving Ruth instruction here. It says that thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Well, we see here a proposal. Well, you see, there is absolutely no contextual suggestion of illicit behavior in Ruth for lying at the feet of Boaz. Don't let anybody tell you that this was inappropriate, but this was exactly what she was supposed to do as a Jewish lady, as a Jewish young girl. The Bible makes it clear that she lies down at the feet, which is quite different from lying down directly beside him. Now you go to Luke chapter 10, verse 39 through 42, and you read more about this, but Boaz would be sleeping at the threshing floor to guard his crop. And that's why he would be there. There were robbers back then, and there were people who would steal. And we think we've got it bad today. There were still robbers back then, crooks and thieves. Well, Naomi told Ruth also to listen to Boaz's words. He will tell thee what thou shalt do. Well, this is what Naomi said would take place. And having become suited to the presence of Boaz, Ruth's course is plain here. She is to lie down at the feet of Boaz and listen to his words. Now, as Naomi says, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Well, this takes us in a thought to that sense at Bethany, as it's described in Luke chapter 10, where we read of Mary and about her, where she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Luke chapter 10 and verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, this is carried over now, and we see a likeness here of how Ruth was to be at the feet of Boaz. And the great lack today is that we get in too much of a hurry, so there is little time for being alone with the Lord to hear the word. Remember, Naomi told Ruth to listen to him, listen to the word of Boaz, lie at his feet, listen to his word. And the Lord says it is one thing needful, and that one thing we need is to listen. Luke chapter 10, verse 42 says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, may we hear the voice of the Lord through Naomi. And like Ruth, we need to answer this way, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 5 says that. And when we're washed and anointed and clothed, may we sit in his presence and hear his word. Well, in Ruth chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says this, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Ruth told Naomi this, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Ruth does as instructed. Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to do what you said. And Ruth went down to that floor and did everything that her mother-in-law told her to do. She told her to wash herself, to get ready, and to do everything that was necessary to get close to this man. Well, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 7 says, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, it doesn't mean he was drunk. It doesn't mean that he was out of his mind with liquor. It simply means that he had worked hard and he was ready for rest. He had eaten and he was satisfied with the harvest. It says that he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Well, notice uncovered feet here. Boaz was happy. He was merry. He was not drunk. And Ruth approaches Boaz respectfully. She came softly. Well, Ruth also shows honor to Boaz by laying at his feet. Remember, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Ruth is told by Naomi, uncover his feet and lay thee down. Ruth used an ancient Near Eastern custom to propose marriage to Boaz. Well, this might surprise you, but Boaz is older than Ruth and refers to her as daughter in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8 and chapter 3 and verse 10. And this is something that took place. She proposed to him instead of our custom today is for the man to propose to the woman. Well, Ruth expressed her desire to marry Boaz, which the older, gracious Boaz would have never initiated with a younger woman. We see that traditionally here, the act of uncovering the feet and requesting a portion of a blanket was a sign of marriage. We ought to try to see this account for what it is. It's an example of two people who love each other and want to approach each other in the most honest, humble, and godly way. I want you to note that this, if you would, Ruth lay down at Boaz's feet and pulled his cloak over her feet, uncovering his feet. We see this, that Ruth was letting Boaz know as the nearest of kin that she was claiming him as Goel, G-O-E-L, a Hebrew word which means kinsman redeemer. This was a Jewish custom under Mosaic law. And what was at stake here was not only the redeeming of Naomi's husband's property, but the need for a male child to carry on the name of Naomi's son, Mahlon, who was Ruth's deceased husband, according to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. Well, all through this book, we see likenesses, likening us to Ruth and likening Boaz as our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. All through this book of Ruth, we see God's message of love. And I trust that you know about God's love today, and you've trusted him as your Savior. And saved person, I want you to understand how much God so loved you that he's allowed you to carry his name, Christian, throughout this world. And you need to be responsible for that name. You need to go forth and tell others how that they can be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.